Side two. Okay, like I mentioned on the other side, I cannot get into everything that happened in 70 AD, but I want to point this out, and I encourage all of you to study, to verify, or prove that I'm wrong about the situation in 70 AD. Jesus said something about that generation that was in existence today, in the day of Jesus, that certain things would happen to it, that generation. A generation, I believe, is about 40 years. And from 30 A.D., which was the time of Jesus' 3.5 year of ministry, somewhere around 30 A.D., to 70 A.D., that generation received, that generation of Jews I'm talking about, received an extra measure of grace to the Jew only. Paul said, Jesus said, I only came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The 11 apostles, their main function from the gospel's point of view was to go to Israel, the lost people throughout the Roman Empire, to the synagogue, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And I believe in those 40 years, those 11 apostles and those who followed them preached the gospel of the circumcision to every single Jew on the face of the earth. In 70 A.D., by 70 A.D., every Jew, everyone who was under the covenant of Moses, heard the fulfillment of the law. And the fulfillment of the law was Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. He says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill it. I came to bring it up to its brim. I came to add the Spirit to Moses. And the purpose of what Jesus came for is to convict them and to show them that no man is righteous under the law. Not one Israeli was righteous, but one, Yeshua HaMashiach. And that message went to every Israelite in the, what at that time the Bible calls the whole world. Well, the whole world, as far as the Bible in that period of time was called the Roman Empire. I don't believe that the apostles at that period of time went to China or to Australia or to North America. The message went to all the places where there were Jews. And that's it. In 70 AD, the structure, the heart of the Mosaic system was absolutely, totally annihilated. Anyone who's familiar with Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and these kind of things, you know that the law, the Bible says if you're guilty in one point in the law, you're guilty of the whole thing. The law was a package. You couldn't pick and choose what you wanted. The whole thing was integrated and structured together. If one piece of it fell out, the whole thing collapsed. In 70 AD, the very heart of the Mosaic Jewish structure collapsed. And God was the instrument. He was the one who did it. He sent Titus into Jerusalem, surrounded the city, laid siege to it. And in the course of that war against the Jews, 3.5 years worth, the genealogical records were burned and totally destroyed. The temple was destroyed exactly as Jesus said it would. Not one stone would stand upon another. Jews were forbidden to worship in the manner that the Mosaic Law says that they were to worship Yahweh. At the point of death, by the time the Bar Kokhba revolution came around in 135 A.D., a person wasn't allowed to set foot in Jerusalem. Well, how can you fulfill the covenants of Moses, who requires that 3 times a year you're to go to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices? the Mosaic Law required that if you sin, and if you do this, and if you do that, you have to offer sacrifices. And there's only one place on the face of the earth that God would accept your sacrifice. That was in Jerusalem. And only one specific priesthood, the sons of Levi, could offer the sacrifices. Now, we had a problem here. Jews could no longer go to Jerusalem. The genealogical records were destroyed, and according to the Mosaic system itself, a high priest had to be able to prove that he was a descendant of Aaron. If you didn't have the records, you couldn't prove that you were a descendant. In addition to that, thousands and thousands of Jewish women were raped by the Roman soldiers. They had all kinds of illegitimate children. There was a tremendous mixture of Jewish blood and pagan blood. In addition to the fact that they were outlawed at this point from coming to the very place that they were commanded by Moses, which means commanded by God, to come to offer sacrifice. The tithes, they were commanded to give a 10% of their agricultural and their dairy, animal livestock to the Levites. The Levites, at that point, could no longer collect the tithe because nobody could prove that they were a descendant of Levi. The whole structure completely collapsed. And God did it on purpose. Because henceforth, the gospel that was to be preached was no longer the gospel of the circumcision, that 40-year period of grace, of law mixed with grace, was to come to a complete end in 70 AD. And the Jews were no longer to try to bring the Gentiles into Israel, but Paul said, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. This whole thing of being grafted into Israel is a joke. Paul preached a new creation in which there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, bond nor free. A new creation. It is finished. The old is done away with. Well, the Jews of that period of time, some of them saw it and entered into the kingdom, and some didn't, stayed behind under the Mosaic structure and died in their sins. And many of those false brethren who came from, you know, not some cult, they came from James's camp, came into the church in Antioch and Corinth and Galatia and undid Paul's work and mixed law and grace, do's and don'ts, with the gift of God. And what came out of that mixture? The Roman Catholic Church. And I tell you this, the Protestant Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Charismatic Church, the Sonship Church, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Moonies, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Church of Christ, they are still mixing law and grace. They are still preaching James's gospel. They're still preaching the gospel of the circumcision. There's something that you have to add to the finished work of Jesus to enter into the kingdom. You got to get baptized a certain way. You got to say the sinner's prayer a certain way. You've got to join a certain denomination a certain way. You have to come to church on Sunday. You have to be under an elder who's ordained by a certain denomination. You have to wear your clothes a certain way. You have to keep certain days. You have to give 10% of your income gross off the top. You have to keep your skirt 3 inches from the floor. No higher up. You have to cut off your facial hair. You have to this. You have to that. The gospel of the circumcision. Oh, yes, we preach the love of God. Oh, yes, we preach grace through faith. But it doesn't flesh out that way. The bottom line of all of Christendom to this day is grace plus law. And I tell you this, it produced death in the church in Jerusalem 1900 years ago, and it still produces death. I have been and participated in over 200 different churches, and I've read about many more. And I tell you this, while all of them preach, well, we preach the gospel, there isn't a single church whose gospel lines up with another church. They all say we have the gospel, and yet they all differ radically. I'm just amazed at how the evangelicals and fundamentalists get together under a handful of statutes and ordinances or a statement of faith or something like that and say, we have the gospel, and yet they cannot come together. They cannot, you know, join hands in fellowship. Why? Because, in fact, their gospels are not the same. In my town, there are 8 or 9 churches, and there's one church in town here that if you have a facial hair, if you have a mustache, you're going to hell. Now, I ask you this. Is that good news, which is what the gospel is supposed to mean? The gospel is supposed to be glad tidings, good news. Is that good news to everybody who's got facial hair? There's some churches in this town that there's a certain form of baptism. If you're not baptized with certain words and baptized a certain way, you couldn't possibly be saved. Now, for those people who in town who call themselves Christians and who feel that the Holy Spirit abides inside of them, but they weren't baptized that certain way, is their gospel good news to them? Most of the churches in this town teach that you can lose your salvation. In other words, salvation isn't a finished thing, that once you have it, you have it. It's God gives you the gift, and if you don't obey your pastor or keep this law or keep that law or obey this due or obey that due, then back into the lake of fire you go, and the gift that you had, you no longer have. You're lost again, doomed to eternal torment or annihilation. Is that good news? I tell you this. I've been in 200 some odd churches, and I have yet to hear really, truly good news. The good news that Paul boldly preached, it is finished. The work of Christ is done for the whole world, including you. And there is nothing that you can do to undo it. Because you see, the true gospel is not a gospel of do's and don'ts. The true gospel is the message of the Heavenly Father's love for all of His creation. He gave His life for all creation. And all creation shall hear and will receive good news, glad tidings, rest for your soul. The gospel of the circumcision was still a Tower of Babel. You being able to add something to God's work to get you up into the kingdom, into the higher realm. But the true gospel, the true evangel, the true evangelion is that no man can of his own works, of his own thoughts, of his own strength, come into the kingdom of the Father. It is all the Father. He initiates and completes what he started. There is nothing that you can add to it. It is a finished work of our Father because he loves us and desires only good for us. That's the true gospel. That's the true good news. It totally eliminates pride. It totally eliminates self-righteousness. And that is why the church hates it. Because the modern church is built on self-righteousness. It's built on the works of the flesh. We still glory in our flesh, and we still have a Jesus after the flesh. And that is why the true good news, the finished work of the cross, or the tree, is not accepted in the leading denominations of Christendom. They still glory in the flesh. They still raise up leaders, anoint buildings, create lists of do's and don'ts and creeds and statutes and articles of faith, and build walls to keep other people out. So in summary, the original two Gospels, both of which were ordained by God, one for the people of Israel for a short period of grace from 30 to 70 AD, and the other one, the Gospel that was to be preached to all the world, that short Gospel, the one to the Jew, was the one that was actually used through James and people like James. It supplanted the gospel of Paul for the last 1900 years. And to this day, the church, the denominational structures of Christendom, are still preaching the Nehushtan, the dead word, the word that was to be finished in 70 AD. Now, for those of you who have been pierced in the heart with this message, who can hear that there is a ring of truth in what I'm saying right now, write to us. We've done a lot of homework, and we've produced a lot of tapes and literature to show the difference between the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision. One will set you free, and the other one will bring you into bondage. And mixing the two, which is the condition of 9.9 out of 10 Christians, mixing the two together, will still produce spiritual death. Write us. We'll be more than happy to answer your questions. Give us a telephone call. Our telephone number is 314-486-3825. Our address is Tentmaker, one word, HCR Box 6, D as in David, Herman, H-E-R-M-A-N-N, Missouri, 65041. Give us a call. We'll be more than happy to send you some tapes to hopefully allow you to get a clearer picture of the everlasting gospel, the gospel that will set all creation free. The scripture says creation is groaning and moaning for something, and we believe we are beginning to see it. Thank you.